Showtime, star time. Yeah, it's a www.caribbeanradioshow.com. We got it good to go. Dr. F, let them know so the girls them love it nice and mellow. Start the show. Hey, you live the life you love. You love the life you live. Any music you want, Dr. F will give. Ooh-wee, greetings, Dr. F brings. From Jah to all ragamuffins who rock it and swing. Greetings, Dr. F. Bring from Jah both Jah to all Caribbean lovers who win for all the diamonds and the money and pearls. Dr. Everett, he's playing reggae around the world. No matter what the price, where music is nice, hold your little string and rub it tonight. Whoa, whoa, greetings, Dr. Everett, from Jah to all ragamuffins. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, greetings, Dr. Everett, bring from Jah to all ragamuffins. Ooh-wee. Yes, most definitely we got it like that. It's www.caribbean radio show with Dr. F. Surfing show, the girls still love it so. Keep it nice and mellow. Yeah, this is our friend representing. Pick up yourself, Dr. F. Give it to them, said Pete.
All right, I want to say big love and good evening to all of you out there. Wow, I'm telling you something. Mother Nature has a way of doing her little dance, and where I am on the East Coast, she did do a spectacular dance, maybe about two hours now, 2.5 hours. We had the most spectacular hailstorm. I mean, I have never seen anything like this in all my life. It's like the heavens were just storming out there, took out their pellet guns and were just shooting like, oh my goodness. I have to get some of these pictures up as soon as I'm able to get some power on my Facebook and also on the show page. This is just absolutely spectacular. You wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. You just have to see, and I have to share that with you. I want to say good evening to all of you hanging out there. If you're on the East Coast, wherever you are there, you may have gotten, probably didn't. Maybe it's only secular to my particular area. I'm not sure, but we really needed that rain. I'm not sure about the hailstorm and the lightning that took out all the power in our area. Well, thank God for satellite, I think, because that's why I'm able to be speaking to you on the phone. Absolutely no computer, no nothing. I'm in total darkness right now. You know what? Yeah, it is a very strange thing, you know. I am in total darkness. Oh, I don't want you to be laughing at me because this is really serious. Habit is a hell of a thing, a really hell of a thing. I'm in total darkness, but I was searching for my glasses. I was searching for my glasses to see around. So, once I get to my workstation, I'm saying, hey, it's time for me to work, so I need my glasses to see. And I started to search for the glasses. Of course, the whole place is dark. I can't find the glasses, and I'm not able to see. So, I am just in total darkness right now. Well, you know what? In a little while, I'll light my lamp. But for those people who don't know what a lamp is, a lamp is one that has a little wick, and it has something we call kerosene oil. And you just light it with a lighter or matches, and it glows. And you have a globe that you put over it and make it kind of keep the light more or less centralized, and the wind can't blow it out, so that gives you some amount of light. That's what I'm gonna be using until we're able to get back light to light early later this evening, actually. So it is it's one of those challenges, but we have to find find some means to overcome. I want to say a big love to Apple Pie, who is the engineer behind the scene tonight, trying to make this happen. Thank you so much. I know I can create avatar to get things done. But, hey, you're always working with me. Big up yourself. I want to say big up and bless up to all of those who are over at Facebook and those who are on the other web pages and other links that we stream to. I know we had to send out about two or three links. A lot of those would not be operable. But I hope everybody got the last one we sent out. We have the Empress here. I call her the Angel. It's Palace Angel. It's my angel. Anyone who really looks out for mankind, for humans, for especially underdogs, I hate the word underprivileged, but you know what that means. They are not so privileged. You know, you have to give special kudos to those folks, because it takes special people to not look at their own interest, self-interest, in order to look out for those who are voiceless and a little bit at the moment, I put at the moment, because most everything is temporary, everything can change in a flash, and the same people who are down there kind of fighting for the crumb, sometimes they do get a breakthrough, so you don't know who is going to get a breakthrough, who has the big dreams and whose dreams will come through. I want to say big, big, big love to my sister and angel, Miss Carla Dumaroff, up in Canada, who is going to be always on a Wednesday here. I wouldn't say my co-host. She's the host. She's the host, so we're going to join her in a few. I want to say big love to all of you coming in and out of the chat room. Big love to you. I'm not able to see you, but I'm sending out some good vibration to you as well. Big, big love to the big man, the hero man, Mr. Willie Brown. That's for you, my man. Yay. You know how I feel about the hero-ness in you. All right, we have a big, big show and some good news. Come on. Yes. Good, nice, good news. That could be a first. That we're going to share with you big, big information on Palace and some really big news that Carla will impart to us this evening. Big love, and I want to join my sister, the angel over there, Miss Carla Dumaroff. Good evening to you, my sister. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good evening, my dear. I'm saying good morning because I'm not sitting in the dark like you are at this particular morning. We got our rain all day, and you're absolutely right. We really needed the rain, because if it doesn't fall in the forest sets on fire. So it was a blessing to me. I'm looking out my window right now, and I am looking at one big, fat rainbow at this moment. It's just absolutely gorgeous. I wish you could see it.
Wow. Well, less than 30 minutes, but she came spectacular. I have never seen this kind of a, my mind just went, hailstorm. It was spectacular. I was thinking that all the windows were going to be broken. I know some people must have suffered a lot of broken windows. Car windows were smashed, because these were big and furious. There were hundreds of them. And as soon as I'm able I would put a few shots on the F-book and on the show page maybe later tomorrow. But it was spectacular. And because of that, I'm able to speak to you tonight because the allergens where I am has settled a little bit. Yesterday, it was so bad. I mean, I was absolutely miserable. So even if it came with the frightening lightning and thunder, I was so happy to see the rain. So happy to see the rain.
I can absolutely imagine that, Evelyn. And you know what? I was sitting there thinking, well, you're calling Ruler Brown and me such lovely endearments that we're going to pick up an endearment for you and we're going to call you Golden Heart from here on in, just so that you don't feel left out in any way.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I am just going to take it. I'm not going to fight it or anything. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. So the show must go on. It was a bit of a struggle to get it going, but I mean, it must go on, and we're all here, and off we go.
Off we go. That is, first of all, I know you since last week. You have been doing a lot of background checks and into what goes on in Jamaica in terms of the culture, what kind of a problem the country on a whole is facing. And I thought that was kind of a neat because it helps us to get a little bit more sensitivity to the and I say that to say this, even though I am a Jamaican, lived there half of my life, more than half of my life, been out there, out of there for a very, very long time. I tend to want to remember Jamaica when I left there. And when I look at the stats and what you were reading and you had shared with me today, I understand that I was doing myself some injustice because I wasn't very current on what some of our problems were, why we were still having the kind of hiccups that we're having in the country. And I'm really happy that you brought it to me. And it says to me that I have to get a little bit more current because problems that I grew up with may not be the same problem or they may not look the same way presently. And I thought that was what was very, very good. If you could kind of share a little bit about that for me before I think it would set the pace a little bit for Palace, for some of the stuff that we'll talk about Palace in a little bit.
Okay, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why I did the research that I did is because what I find with what's happening in the world in general, and there's a lot of good-hearted people out there, but what they tend to do is talk an issue to death. And you really can't bring any kind of action into an issue unless you can totally identify the problems. It's one thing to sit and say that they're underprivileged. Humble would probably be another good word to put to it. It's one thing, but to give a more broader scope of what the challenges are and everything, I needed to go and take a look at what was going on. And I found a report that the United Nations had put together that had related some of the obstacles that the Caribbean is dealing with that could literally halt their future growth in sustainable development. And when you're talking about halting your future growth in sustainable development, you're talking about literally not having a future. If you could possibly imagine that, you know, and that's kind of scary, and it directly relates to education because to remain sustainable, because we're in a global environment, to remain sustainable, there's a need to stimulate foreign trade, you know, and foreign investment, and to make yourself attractive, you have to have an educated population. I went and took a look at some statistics, and I think you're looking at 1% of the population of Jamaica is in post-secondary, or you call it tertiary education. 1%. Of that 1%, only, like, of the entire body, that entire body of 1% of the population that is taking post-secondary, that is working towards, you know, being able to manage the Caribbean when it comes time to do so, only 14% of that are guys, are boys. Now, can you see a problem in that, Evelyn?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me give you another overview again. Let me probably interject a little bit here. When we talk about 1% of the population moving into tertiary education, yes, that, and maybe the number was a little bit lower, probably years ago as compared to now. But let me kind of give folks an overview of what's possible, why that's 1%. Jamaica have one university, and that one university is the University of the West Indies. And that University of the West Indies serves the entire university region. So you have every single country in the West Indies, in the Caribbean, contribute to the HUI, as we call it. A percentage of those in the rest of the other Caribbean islands, which are very many, you have over 700 Caribbean islands. Not all of them are inhabited, but 90% of that is inhabited. So a lot of those folks are entitled to attend this one university. We have CAS, that is more or less like a technical college. And you have several teachers' college. You have on the outskirts several nursing institutions. And now, luckily, over the past 10 to 15 years, you have a university, a second university that is in, and maybe a third tertiary education. So not that you don't have students who are prepared to go to this, who are prepared to enter into university. We talk about what is preventing them. Not only that it's just 1% that is prepared to go there, but it's only 1% that can be accepted, basically, because of the number of institutions we have on the island, and we have to think finances. Majority of the folks who would go on into these institutions cannot go because of finance, and this is where Palace is going to become the hero here.
Exactly. And that, you know, and that was one of the points that this United Nations report had come up with. Some of the other obstacles that they had highlighted, again, was lack of financial resources, which you're referring to. But those lack of financial resources, they go on up the line. They begin with the families that struggle really hard. And a little later on, I'd like to read to you one of the students' essays that they wrote in, to give you a grasp of some of the challenges these students, like the 42 that are going to be awarded this year, some of the challenges that they went through just to make it to this point. Anyway, going back to the United Nations Sustainable Development Report, directed and focused at the Caribbean islands, the obstacles that they had listed was that there was a lack of financial resources. Didn't start just at the families. It goes on up the line right up to the governments.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of qualified personnel, and that's the same thing, too. If you don't have enough teachers to teach enough students, you know, it's just a vicious cycle.
Let me interject on that point there, too, as I come. Let me try to bring in our listeners for them to get a better understanding. And again, to put Mr. Ruler Brown in the forefront of this for is a vision and understanding our country, and is able to make sure, as much as we possibly can with your help, to get Palace as an integral part of this, and inoculate Palace into the country on a whole. And I think we are really taking some effect here, and I want to put him on that pedestal again, and I'm not doing this overly doing this. This is a visionary, and we have to, a lot of times I personally believe that you have to give people strength in order for them to carry on. And I think I'm not overdoing this at all. And I want to thank him for his vision and the folks that are working and helping to make this vision for this country come true. When we talk about not having qualified people to foster the kind of education into tertiary education, here is what I know of the problem. And I say I know, start somewhere can bear this out. When you're in Jamaica, and because of the economy, because of the growth in the direction that it should be going, it is not speeding fast enough. You go to university, you get the opportunity to go to university, you have to borrow loans to make this possible. The minute you do this, the opportunity for you to leave the country becomes very, very lucrative. There are recruiters sitting by for the United States, from the United States, from other parts of the Caribbean and other parts of the world that are looking for certain qualified people out of this small pool.
Absolutely.
And I am telling you, it is very difficult. When you are there in a country, you have a car loan, you have this education now, you have loan to pay back, you want to move your family forward, and you understand what education is, and you want to start a family, and you're trying to do the best thing for them. It is very difficult for you to turn down a job that is going to be paying you, say, $50,000 U.S., as opposed to get a job that is going to pay you, if you stay in Jamaica, $10,000 U.S.
Can I interject in there for a second? Because I think there comes this mindset that because we're talking about, and I agree with you, using the word disadvantage, we have to come up with a better word than that, Evelyn. There's this mindset that if we're talking about disadvantaged children, we're talking about unintelligent children. And that is far from true. These kids... We have children in our nation, North America, that are so privileged, they sit back on their haunches and they coast through. These kids that we're talking about are kids that struggle day by day, and when they come into tertiary education, they are focused, they are dedicated, they are guided, you know, and that is what companies or organizations in the United States are looking for. So your own pool of talent is being absorbed in other countries.
Absolutely. And hence we have the brain drain, and you'll constantly have that because the luring factors are there so much that it is very difficult unless you are absolutely patriotic person or there is some bond that is going to be keeping you in the country. You are going to slip through that little crack. And so there is one more very brilliant and talented person who is able to give back and build the country and build up a stable economy and build up the education system that is being stolen, that the economic pressure steals them away.
Exactly. So that's one of the overall focuses of Palace is to be able to keep the mind pool within the Caribbean so that it ends up helping the Caribbean, and Braille, and it'll be like a ripple effect. It'll just make a stronger nation for yourselves. That's one of the reasons why giving scholarships within the Caribbean region, encouraging children to stay there, is such a brilliant idea on behalf of the Palace Board of Directors.
Excellent. And Jamaica, Jamaica in particular, because she stands out very well in academic excellence for those who are able to get to these education. We have so much Rhodes Scholars. We have so much folks who have come into this country who have been doing stand out. Absolute excellence. The folks that are coming out are definitely the cream of the crop, because we have a supply and demand in terms of, so many people vying for the one little seat in the higher education. Therefore, it kind of it weeds out the best of the best of the best. We're not even talking the best going to the institution. You have to be better than the best to get a small spot there. And that is a big problem. It creates another pool of individuals who are frustrated, who know that they're talented but just don't have anywhere to prove it. Because if they're not getting the place in the institution, there is a certificate that they're not able to show in the workplace or to say, hey, I've achieved this based on the standards that's set. You know, those dreams just die within them because there's not the place there for them to go to the higher institution, one, and there's not the finance for those who could get in to get there. So it is a big problem.
What a heartbreak that is, because there isn't a country on the face of this planet that doesn't drill into their students, go to school, get good grades, and when you do, you will have a future. When in reality, the fact is that the family struggles to be able to you know, put the children in uniforms, buy the books, get the transportation, provide them with food. And a lot of these kids are sitting in the classrooms with nothing to eat and are still pulling up the grades and everything. They're doing everything they possibly can. The families, aunties, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, all pulling together, and they hit this obstacle where they've done everything that was asked of them, and they still can't go any further. That is such a crying shame.
It is a crying shame, but I want to hit you a little harder, too. You have a child who has studied, beat his book. There was one little girl that was in the paper in April. She studied with the light of, and hear this, she studied and got, I think, 8 subjects. With the light from her telephone.
Wow.
Telephone.
You see, with that kind of dedication and everything, you can see where other nations like North America would look at that kind of potential and go, that's the person I want.
Yes, absolutely.
You can see that, you know,
absolutely.
And speaker needs to be able to say, no, that's our citizen, that's our pride in our future, and we're keeping that child here.
Yes. The other thing that, quite unlike here in this country, a lot of things, we have the big yellow bus, we have the lunchroom, we have all of those sophisticated labs and all of that. In the Caribbean, they're unbecoming. We don't have a lot of those sophistication, and they have to create things, literally. But another big downfall is, say you have a child that studies to do some qualifying exam to go to the university. We have different levels, and I'm sure you go through some of that as you read some of the essays. You'll see some of the exam that they've passed, CXC, CAPE, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. GCEA level and O level. These are the exams that will take them to the next level. And you have a kid that sat down and studied all 2 years, prepared for this exam. And the day or the weeks to come that that child has to sit these exams, the parent cannot find the necessary fees, which are exorbitant, for them to sit these exams. So it's like, what do you say to a child like that? You know, what do you really say? The child is saying to you, I have done everything that you asked me to do, and here I am, come prepared, and you are not. You have reneged on your part of the responsibility. You're telling me to be prepared because I have a future in education, and now I present myself. I don't have the money in order to do this exam. No, what am I supposed to do? And again, this is where Pallas comes in as the hero in all of this, and hope to be a household name in Jamaica based on all of those wonderful people out there who understands what's going on and be able to go in and to press the donate button on the side, because we certainly depend totally on you guys out there, as we have from 13 scholarships to 42 scholarships. It's because of you touching that donate button one way or the other.
Exactly. And I think the bottom line is if we're sitting in other nations other than the Caribbean and we're listening to this and we all of a sudden come to the realization of the challenges and the talent that exists in the Caribbean that's being wasted or being drained into, and we sit and we think, well, you know, what's that got to do with me? It's got everything in the world to do with you, absolutely everything in the world to do with you, because we're all one. We all, you know, we all stand together, we all fall together. Here is an opportunity where you try and look for the best case scenario. And in this case, the best case scenario is to provide, if you can, $5, $10, whatever it is that you can, to try and build a nation. Because if that nation doesn't stand, if it's challenges that they face in sustainable development aren't met, if the obstacles aren't met, then we ourselves will get drained of our foreign aid resources. There'd be just another, you know, it would just impact greatly. So in fact, it does affect us. We have the ability of dealing with it now. There's a saying, I don't know if it's in Jamaica or the Caribbean, they forgot to close the barn door before the horse got out.
Yes.
A Caribbean, please translate for me. But I mean, it's quite typical. Humanity has this thing about being active on issues after things happen, you know, and that ends up being more costly and more devastating in human terms. Let's for once shut the barn door before the horse gets out. It's not going to cost in human terms or in dollar terms anywhere near as much as it is trying to do damage control in a Caribbean area that you know that literally has not been able to sustain itself.
And we know that for a fact what happens when a country cannot sustain itself, and as you say, the repercussion is massive. Migration, immigration takes place. I mean, totally, this people, life in itself, one has to go where life is. You seek life. I mean, or sometimes it turns upon itself, and when you get despondent, when you have hopelessness, you have what we now see, massacre or situations like that. When you have a country that is in a state of limbo. I mean, there's internal squabbles, wars, if it's a tribal situation, war for food, war for position, because that is the human nature. You are going to do everything to survive. And when you have all of this thing...
And then you have the displaced, and the displaced will be looking at other countries, and you know,
absolutely.
So all of a sudden it becomes your burden again. I mean, it is your burden. You can't deny it. You can't turn around and say, it's not in my country, so I'm not worrying about it. Okay, it's not in your country yet,
yes.
But it will be,
yes.
If you agree.
Yes.
If that's about as simple as that gets.
And that's absolutely true. It's a matter of yet. But think about the wonderful things also. We have a Colin Powell there's a long laundry list of so many folks from the Caribbean who have come here and contributed to this nation building. A Colin Powell who fought a war to get to the highest seat, an immigrant of parentage from Jamaica. This is what you call education and working, and eventually this is the end product. I mean, he is benefited this country. You know, he has benefited this country. So somebody sit here and say, well, I'm not in Jamaica anymore, or I'm an American. I don't have to take care of somebody in Jamaica. Then when you go to the hospital tomorrow, it just might be a Jamaican physician there. When you go to the person who is doing your prescription, it just might be a Jamaican there. And part of all of this, why they can be there in a positive light, is because of the education, is because of the caring, is because somebody did reach out somehow and say, you know what, there's somebody over in the Caribbean who was asking for my help. I don't know what he's going to do, how he's going to serve with me giving my help, but I know that if I do give help, he is going to be of service to somebody somewhere in the universe, which does affect me directly or indirectly.
And the bottom line, Evelyn, is, do unto others as you would like to have done to yourself. That's the ultimate golden rule. And if, you know, there's plenty of people that are listening that have struggled themselves and have had a helping hand, and they would recognize that it didn't govern where the hand came from, what color the hand was, how rich the hand was, how educated the hand was. It was there, it extended itself, and they were able to progress from that. You know, and these kids are absolutely brilliant. Rula Brown had forwarded me some of the essays. I read them. My God, man, they use some words I don't even use in my vocabulary. You know, these are absolutely brilliant children. And this brilliance is a humanity investment, not just a nation investment, but an overall global investment. Because the bottom line is in whatever work that you do, you contribute on a global scale.
Absolutely. When we really take a look, the world is closing in on us. So for us to even try and isolate ourselves at this point, I think that is not even going to be not in this lifetime, because the world is just closing in on us. So I think it just behooves us to, you know, just reach out far and wide. Absolutely reach out far and wide. And you mentioned on several occasions, we are really our brother's keeper here. And the more we really come to understand that and really accept that, I think we will have to alleviate a lot of our problem. And I wouldn't say the world's problem, because the world is us. So we will alleviate a lot of our problems. And hence, some of the horrific things that we are seeing in the world today will slowly, I hope quickly, but at least slowly dissipate.
Well, you have to take a step towards it. In my research today, I want to point this out because I remember I mentioned it to you last weekend when we were talking that a friend of mine and I were discussing that I was coming on this show and we were talking about providing scholarships, educational scholarships, and then the gentleman I was talking to is from the United States. And he says, well, do you go into the United States of America as well? And I said, no, this is for the Caribbean region, primarily Jamaica, and we're looking to branch out into Dominican and Haiti and the other nations in that particular area. And I says, in all reality, United States has its opportunities. Now, when I went and did my research today, I went and Googled corporate sponsors for education. And I came up with like 50 or 60, like a list of 50 or 60 that were working and contributing within the United States of America. And I come up with two that provided sponsorship in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So I mean, when you see an area which is inherently has a struggle, that's where you look to work on first. If you did triage, if you have first aid and you did triage, you deal with the most serious injury. Mm-hmm. You know, if a person's sitting there with a busted arm and a bleeding nose, you don't tend to the bleeding nose, you tend to the busted arm. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I'm not saying that the United States has its education issues. It certainly does. I'm not saying that one's more deserving than the other. What I am saying is the opportunities, and one of the reasons why PALLAS is focused in the Caribbean region is the opportunities just aren't there to fund and finance.
And I'm glad you brought that up too. Most of these big corporations that are funding folks here in Jamaica, in the United States, and of course they should be, because as a corporation, I think a part of responsibility is for you to the community that serves you. You're supposed to at least serve them back, even as limited as you can, even as much as that. But even looking at Jamaica, these corporations too also do businesses and extend their services in the Caribbean. And I think if you are doing business and services in any country, your businesses extend where you're getting any kind of monetary gain out of that country. I think it's your responsibility to also give back to sustain that community as well.
But Evelyn, it's only good business sense, because if you're doing business in Jamaica, what you need is contacts in Jamaica. You need to have those contacts to be educated in the business know-how to be able to extend your reach into it. And what better a way of ensuring that you have, the best advantage of developing your business contacts, or what we're actually talking about here is stimulating foreign trade and foreign investment. What better way for you to ensure the success of your foreign investment than to fund the future? You know what I mean? And educate them to be able to cope business wise on a global scale.
Absolutely, absolutely. But oftentimes, companies, and I'm going to say this, and I know I'm not going to be politically correct, but in my limited way of doing things, let me say this anyway. You'll forgive me if I'm saying something out of bounds. Most countries, you have some of the biggest corporate multi-billionaires in the United States. that has cooperation, quite a bit of them, they do get services from other countries at a fraction, of what they would pay in this country. This is why the business of offshoring their job is so lucrative, and hence they become can hold billions of dollars in profit. And they look for this cheap labor, and really cheap labor, because these folks who are in these areas can absolutely do any better. And they hold the pot, they hold the blade, and they said, hey, I'm only going to give you $2 for this, to break your neck to do this, under some very horrible condition that they don't have to be regulated. Just something that they would have to pay to produce 10 times as much in the United States with all the regulation and all of that. So they're moving into this developing country, and they're really taking advantage of the folks there. And they're stealing billions and billions of dollars off of the bat. You talked about fair trade last time. It's certainly not fair trade. And these companies should be held responsible and accountable that they establish provision in this country to help the community. And the government should see to that in their contract that these companies are held responsible to help in the community, to develop worker skills and education in the areas where they're benefiting the most.
Absolutely. And you know what? Political correctness and truth sometimes conflict. And the problem is we tend to pussyfoot around, and we tend to try and sugarcoat and stuff like that. But the bottom line is exactly what you're talking about. So maybe one of the actions that we'd be talking about would be to address the people that are delegating legislator and ask them, are you putting into plan, you know, some ways of making foreign investors responsible for putting back in what they take out?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least a portion. And I think as policies develop and they see the impact that Palace is having in the Caribbean region, and I know we are having an impact already. I think a lot of it, and I'm just going to mention a little bit because I don't think I can really say it out loud. I know Mr. Iraman told me a little bit of news, which was that would just blow us up so nicely, that there's possible some little legislation because of what we're doing that might be coming on stream. I can't talk about it yet because we don't know how it will pan out, but we're looking out that something will happen legislatively in Jamaica, at least to begin with, that would be because of the steps that Palace are making. We're keeping our fingers and our eyes on our nose and all things that can be crossed, because if that happens, then this would be a mammoth step in the direction of recognizing what we are doing, and will be setting the platform to really open up a lot of other doors.
That's absolutely fantastic, and I'm just chomping at the bit waiting for that one to pan out. Now that we're you know, on this whole topic, in order to bring some focus on the capacity of investing in education and turning around a country, I've got some statistics for you, and it's from Panama, South America. And what I found really interesting is when you start discussing aid, foreign aid, they usually lump South America and Caribbean together. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they do that, but they do. And you know, South America has a similar struggle. than what the Caribbean region has. You know, their statistics are this, you know, they have had corporations that have come in, gleaned their resources, you know, have gone. In some cases, they haven't even paid the labor. You know what I mean? They've used it without paying. And within this network, Panama had decided, heck no, we're not going like this. And they had invested in their, they had hugely invested in their education. In their focus was on university enrollment and secondary school completion. And what ended up happening when they focused on that, their unemployment rate now sits at 4%.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
That give you an idea what the positive impact of investing in students within a region honestly can be. Because when you're taking a look at the rest of South America around it, they can't come close to boasting those, you know, those particular statistics.
Wow.
I just thought I'd bring that up. I would have brought up a case study on the Caribbean, but, you know, Jamaica is going to be the next statistic because we're going to make sure of it. We're going to make absolute sure of it.
Wow. Well, I want to take the moment to thank all of you. I cannot begin to say thanks to the many hundreds of folks who definitely, we've been on the airwaves since we started the first scholarship, which was 13 scholarship, and I know you're going to some numbers for us, Carla. I am now to the point of 42 scholarship. And all of that is a big congratulations to those folks who understand what this means to a young folk and have done the right thing, got on that donate button, and this is why we are here boasting about this today. Those of you who are just joining us, and I know you have not had the opportunity to do so, the www.palas1.org. That's www.palas1.org. When you go on that page and when you see the young people that we have, the 13 who have gotten the first set of scholarship and now 42 who have gotten those scholarships, when you look at the collage, when you look at the smile on these folks' face, and Carla is going to be reading some of the letters, and we're going to be getting some of these essays that qualify some of these young kids to get a scholarship. And you're going to be listening to some of the things that these young people have gone through, and I'm sure because we have a limited number of words for them to describe it, they have not got into detail, but I'm sure they have more than enough. I can tell you because I lived it, and if I didn't get to this country and thank God for getting to here, I wouldn't have had the education that I have. Not because I couldn't have gotten it in two reasons. I couldn't have gotten it into Jamaica because I couldn't afford it. And maybe at the time there were hundreds and hundreds who were A plus. And I was probably just a. Here, if you're A, you're good because the institutions are there and you can pick, choose, and refuse. If you're in Jamaica, you don't have the choice to pick, fuse, and refuse because the institutions are just limited. So you have a lot of people who wants to be physicians, who wants to be nurses, and it just can't happen because of the limited space that is there and the competitive nature of the places. So when you have folks getting a chance to say, go get into the Americas, I mean, you can choose, pick and refuse where you'd like to go to. The opportunities here also for you to get loan, which I won't tell you how many, I won't tell you what I had to pay, but it doesn't really matter what I had to pay, the fact that it was done, the fact that we got it done, and if that's the end product, it was done, then you have to figure out how to pay for it. So, I mean, it's a catch-22 situation, but I'd rather be on this side having my realized my dreams than having my dreams stuck somewhere in my throat, keep choking at me every single day.
And the thing is you and I both, you know, got student loans to be able to make it through our careers. Is there a student loan network set up in Jamaica?
There is a student loan network there as well. I mean, they just started years when I was in Jamaica. It was, I think it was a little bit different. You went to university and it was paid for, really. It was paid for at that time. There wasn't the kind of fees that they're having now because of this economic, and then the economic environment caused them to have more fees instituted now. The qualification for these loans is not like here. That, and I'm not going to speak too much on it. I'm not too much of an authority on it. But I think that you have to meet still certain criteria to qualify. It's not like you have the loans here. There are certain loans that you automatically will get just being enrolled in college and having a particular grade. I think in Jamaica, there are other stipulations that goes with it. It's not like, I don't think it's automatic, and I can stand correct on some of these. I certainly can stand corrected here. But there is some amount of student loans.
Maybe they can call in and correct us on this, and you know, give us a little bit more insight on that. If anybody knows, please, you know, feel free to give us a call, and you know, and help in on those challenges.
All right, definitely 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Give us a call, join in the conversation. Let us know. A lot of you out there are F-bookers, and you see what we've been posting left, right, and center. If you want to call us in and add a little something to what's going on out there, how you can help, how we can better help, please give us a call, 661-467-2407. Want to also give a big shout-out to all of those who are listening on the periphery or through the links that we send out there on Facebook. Those of you who are in the chat room coming in and out, want to say big love to you as well. Want to say big love to the engineer himself that eventually makes this happen. Mr. Aldrich, thank you so, so very much for putting up with me. I really appreciate the love. I really appreciate the love that, because sometimes I can be really hard and rough and tough. The perfection in me, but not the praise, the passion of trying to make sure we get out to everyone, you know. That's all about passion. That's simply it. It's just simply love. It may not sound nice and huggy-huggy, but it's simply love. I want to also bless up and big up all of the directors on Palace. Fantastic work that has been done. Of course, the big man himself, the hero man, Mr. Ruler Brown, getting ready to go to Jamaica in a couple of weeks or so. And Carla, of course, our marketing director, our angel lady up there, I call her, in Canada, spread our wonderful wings and overshadow Palace. And here we are moving forward and forward with excitement. And also this excitement is extended to all our young ones in Jamaica, looking forward for the big day, August the 25th. And I'm sure you're going to go in lots of details with that as well. Big love to all of you out there. Make sure if you're just joining us for the first time, www.palas1.org. That's www.palas1.org. Back to you, Ms. Carla.
Hey, can I introduce you to Shashan Sterling? That's one of the winners. Actually, I can't say applicants. She's one of the 42 that will be awarded a scholarship on the 25th. Can I read Sashan's essay, possibly?
Oh, Sashan, can you tell us a little bit about him and show what we would have, because I think that's one of the Gold Star winners. And if you can explain that to us, and then we can probably better understand Sashan there and his particular top win. One of the top winners, is he?
Is he one of the Gold Star winners? One of the ones that are getting the laptop?
I think so. Go ahead. You can explain that. You can explain the Gold Star winner and what that means for us.
There's four Gold Star winners that not only will receive a scholarship, they'll also receive a laptop, and it's an extra reward for achieving over and above standards.
Okay.
And Sashan is one of them. And when I read you his essay, I think you could. I mentioned this to you in my email this morning. I was reading these, and I almost cried. You know, I was reading.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was profound amazement at these children and the struggles that they went through, and I'm so proud of them. I am so absolutely proud of them. And for the children that because we only have enough funds to be able to support 42 of you, for the ones that didn't make it, my God, don't give up. Please don't give up, because we're not giving up trying to support you. We're just going to go at it even harder in our next coming fiscal year, which starts in October. Please don't give up.
I'm glad you mentioned it. Let me interject before you go into reading that. I know one of the hardest, it is wonderful when we're sending out those 42. Everybody is just excited for the 42 kids. But one of the hardest things for the hero man, Mr. Ruler Brown, is to send out those letters, and it drops way down in the bottom of your heart when you have to send out those letters to those little ones and say, you know what, and it's because we don't have enough funds for one, and of course we have to have some kind of a standard in which we have to work from. But some of these kids that don't get a scholarship, it's not because they're not qualified.
Absolutely not.
It's just because the funds are not there for one. And as I said, we have to have some standards, and you know, you have to fall within the standards for what we're doing right now. But I'm glad you really brought that up, because some of these essays that are not so-called qualified for a scholarship are nevertheless winners.
Oh, they are. Absolutely, they are. And don't give up on your dreams. Karma has a wonderful way of resolving itself. So you cross your fingers and you hope and you keep on going. If you're listening to me, please just don't give up on your dream. Honest to God, don't. I mean, I don't know about you, Evelyn. I face barriers and I face no's and I face crashes and stuff like that. And actually, the best of the Fortune 500, they've lost their businesses 5 to 7 times before they actually made it.
Absolutely. You know,
if that gives you any idea that, you know, don't give up hope. And the fact that you're not one of the 42 doesn't by any means say you're not as good or as talented. We operate on a point system. And, you know, and like I was discussing it with Ruler Brown, and, you know, and some people got disqualified for not signing the application. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There was a point that was given for that, and it's short-sighted. And I sit there and I think, well, you know, part of me says, man, that's kind of cruel, and the other part of me understands that we've only got X amount of dollars, you know, and we need to, you know, we need to come up with some means of being able to come up with a system of you know what I mean? How much?
Yeah, and at the same time too. I mean, somebody lose a point for not signing the paper. But remember, also, we are held accountable. We are in the just in the last little bit of the 501c3 government nonprofit status. And when you get audited, what is going to be looked at is our rules and regulation, our bylaws. Are they the standards that we are going for? And the organization, the board of directors, make sure that those are adhered to. So that is one thing. And we will definitely get a lot of this resolved when we are able to go down to the schools when it's time for application and make a presentation to those to the visiting schools and say, hey, these are some of the things that were looked on and must be as part of the means of qualifying. Okay, you financial needs scores and certain scores above certain level, and also the preparation of the documents. None of those can have any lapse between them because we are accountable to as a institution that is overseen by the government how we collect funding. And we cannot have any disparity in what we do because the folks that give their money, they want to know, hey, this one didn't do that. Somebody can call up and ask for an audit of what we do. I mean, and they're looking through and say, oh, this one don't have this done and this one don't have that one. And you give it to that one and you don't give it to that one. So overall, we have to have uniformity across the board.
Exactly. And in all reality, in the working world, if you're a representative for your company or if you're a nurse, in a hospital, and you don't sign your chart or you don't sign the contract that you were sent to land and everything, you potentially lose your job. So, you know, kids, if you're listening to me, sign your application, please.
Sign your application would mean getting a nice little handsome test as opposed to not. And it also say pay attention. And part of this thing is preparing kids for the bigger world. Going into the workplace, this has to be done. I mean, your everyday life, you have to look at documents and follow instruction, and this is all a part of it. That's a life lesson there for those who didn't. I'm sure they're not going to make that mistake again.
Absolutely not. And the word, the operative word in that sentence is again, because they're not going to give up. They're not going to quit because we're not going to give up and we're not going to quit. And one way or the other, we're going to increase our funding and make darn sure that you're going to get, you know, that you're going to get your dreams fulfilled one way or the other. Anyway, I want to get to this essay. I want to get to this one essay, if that's at all possible.
Yes, it is all possible.
I have a 21-year-old son, so my reading skills are like way behind me. My bedtime reading skills are way behind me.
Come, Miss Anchor Woman, we want to hear it.
So if I go tripping over my words as I read this, understand the level of competence of the writer and the reader, and know what you're investing in.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So this was an essay that was given by Sashan Sterling, one of our Gold Star students. And he starts off by saying, a famous motivational speaker, Thomas Jefferson, once said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal." Thomas Edison's words has helped to shape my life for the past 19 years by way of focus, determinations, and goals. I should be given this scholarship because I am in need of it. I am an outstanding academic performer, and I am always willing to give a helping hand. Having been raised in a single-parent unit where I'm not the only child has been a real challenge for my mother in providing for me academically. In most of my academic life, she's been unemployed and has just recently managed to gain employment. Before her employment, I mostly had to depend on the little business of raising chickens that she had started and family members. The business was challenging, but we all played our parts with the rearing and the caring of the chickens until harvest time, where we ourselves did the slaughtering. My uncle that assisted with my traveling expenses was a taxi operator from where I lived to where my school was located. I often felt uncomfortable when traveling with him because I felt that I was taking up space for another paying passenger. What a statement. This feeling was built up from the expressions I usually saw on his face whenever I came around for a ride. I felt really sad, but I knew I had to put away this feeling and fight through it with success in mind. Despite this odd, I must say I am truly grateful for those rides from then until now. Most of the times, when doing my exams or in class learning, I was mostly hungry, but I had to take it off my mind, constantly reminding myself of my goals I wanted to achieve. My families abroad sent me money when they could. For this, I'm also deeply grateful. It helped to pay for my exams along with the help from other private institutions and individuals, like my teachers and principals, who are willing to help me of my self-discipline and respectfulness. As you can see, through my academic tenure, I have always managed to maintain excellent grades. I take the time out to do my assignments and presentations so that the grades assigned to me will reflect my truest potential. Whenever I don't really understand an area of study, I ensure that I pay extra attention to it. When there are special functions to attend, I willingly volunteer myself in representation of my school. At the same time, I maintained a volunteering spirit, helping others in the small ways that I could, always willing to give a helping hand. If given this scholarship, it would help a fair way in reducing some of the stress off of me because of my situation, which has not changed much. And it would also allow my mother to care for the rest of the family more. It would be gratefully appreciated, and of course, that appreciation will be shown by my continued hard work and determination.
Wow.
Did you see why I was almost tearing up?
Wow.
What a time. I know. Wow, eh?
Gosh. I can see this little young man in his uncle's car, and I see exactly what he's saying because I know exactly what that is. And it is tough on a young child to be thinking that he's hindering some progress in somebody else's life for them to really get what they want. When we talk about here in North America and the silly things that we really put on, well, the problems that we don't have, and we make a problem out of them, we have to read more of these essays for folks to understand the magnitude of the pressure. And let us know, if you can, please, how many CXC and all of that does this child, young person, the passes in the exam. Do you have those passes?
I don't have those statistics in front of me at the moment, my dear. I'm sorry.
Okay, not a problem. But I hope that next week we can probably have, because it's staggering. I know some of the kids have 15 subjects, 14 A's, and one. Oh my gosh, I don't know how these kids do it without breakfast, without the other accoutrement that most of other students have. You know, I have the feeling that most of achievement is passion. It's not what you have, it's passion and the means to express those passions. And this is what Palace does. Palace gives this young man, to Sean, the opportunity to carry out this passion. And I no doubt feel that also Sean, based on the information that's there, will also help down the road when it's time for him to give back, one way or the other. I am absolutely sure that this is somebody that we can depend on to give and help in. And whether they're in school to help somebody who doesn't understand a particular problem, or later on maybe to give back to Palace, so Palace can continue to give back or be a service to Palace one way or the other throughout his tenure. I salute you, Sean. I salute your courage. I also thank all his uncle, and I know what you're going through too, because every penny does count. I salute all of those people who are in foreign land, who are his relatives, and thank them, because I know in following this young man, we are going to be seeing, he is going to, as he promised in his essay, he is going to be doing good, and I'm sure he won't renege on his word. I salute you, Sean. Ladies and gentlemen, who are listening, whether in archives or whether you're listening to us live right now, this is our next prime minister. This is our next medicine person who is going to cure the next ailment. This is our next teacher who is going to bring forth the next generation, literally. Because if he's a physician, he's going to be teaching. If he's a physician, he's going to be saving lives. If he's a prime minister, he's going to be teaching. He's all going to be lifting up people and encouraging and have them. He's going to be an example to them. This story has definitely lifted my spirit, and I'm sure it's lifted your spirit as well. It also make us make adjustment to our lives. We throw out a sneaker when it gets a little bit wrinkled. We say, a lot of us ladies in our closet, we have 500 dress, but we get invited out and we say, oh my God, I have nothing to wear. We have 500 shoe in our closet and we get invited out and we say, we don't have anything to wear. We have a cupboard full of food, and we open our refrigerator, and it's still stocked, and we say we don't have anything to eat. I think we have to count our blessings. We have to really and truly count our blessings and consider how fortunate you are. When you go into your refrigerator and you throw something out because it's spoiled, think about how fortunate you are that you can afford to do that. Something is going to stay until it goes bad. A lot of folks that we're reading their essay do not have lunch.
Exactly.
When I was going to school, it's a little while, but it's not so long. When we talk about balanced lunch here, I'm wondering, what are these people talking about? A balanced diet of lunch? My going to school with breakfast is a little tea with a little bush we pull from off the tree outside, whether it was lime leaf or whether it was sarraseed, that's a bush we have growing wild,
or whether it's a soursop leaf or a nutmeg leaf tea or a sarsaparilla tea or any kind of bush that we drink, tainted by a little sugar, and not a lot of sugar because you couldn't afford to buy the sugar, so you just get a little bit, we say we brackish it with a little sugar, and a piece of bread, a little piece of bread. That was breakfast until you get a little lunch at school. That was breakfast. There was no ham and cereal with milk and all of those stuff. A little hot tea that we made from the bush and a piece of bread. So when you have a carton of milk that you throw out, consider if I was near your refrigerator, although that milk was bad, maybe I would have drank it because that would be luxury to me. That
you know,
absolutely luxury.
You know, some of the most compassionate people on this earth are people that are born of strife. It's really hard to identify compassionately unless you yourself have been through it. Sashan has already laid down a foundation. He has a practice of helping out. He has, in his essay, he has exemplified his compassion for, you know, for people who have sacrificed to put him where he's at. I'm gonna relate to you a little story of when I went to school, because I had been parentless from 17 on. So there wasn't anybody to help supply, you know, to help pay for my education. I had to get it myself. And in Canada, you have two loans that you can apply for, two student loans that you can apply for, one provincial and one federal. And each of them have their different conditions that need to be met. I had made a transition from one province to another, which disqualified me from the provincial funding. And the way they have it geared is for you to be able to survive, you know, to keep a roof over your head and go to school full time. And you kind of need both, you know. So here I am. I'm entering in my first year, and I only have one. And I have no backup, you know. I got no backup, and by hook or crook, I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through one way or the other. And I did get two scholarships that helped me through. So I understand what these scholarships really mean to a person. Now I'm going to give you an idea what my weekly diet was. I was able to afford for my first year on those two scholarships and my one loan, one dozen eggs, one loaf of bread, one little box of tea and some fruit. That sustained me from week to week. I understand what Sashan is saying when he says I'm trying to focus in school and, you know, and my belly is talking so loud I can't hear my instructor. You know, I understand. I think that's maybe why I started tearing up, is I know what this kid went through. But the thing is, I made it through. You know, I made it through. I know this kid is going to make it through. I honestly know this kid is going to make it through. And, you know, and I ended up being a pretty decent person because of it. And I know Sashan is a pretty decent person because of it. And I know as a fact that he's going to go and help his community, his family, and his nation, and he's going to be a blessing because of it. And he's worth investing in. He's absolutely worth investing in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Folks out there, you heard it. We couldn't have said it. You heard it from the script on the paper, how the challenges are. And these are young people. My plane and my airplane is just passing through there, so you may hear a whole lot of noise in the background. Hopefully that this won't take very, very long at all. I'm thinking, I'm still in the dark, so I'm thinking it's about 5 minutes or at least 6-7 minutes after 10 o'clock if my plane is early.
I got 7:24 here, so we'll hit it at 10:24 at your time, my dear.
Somewhere there. So she's kind of a little bit late, maybe because we have the power outage here, probably, I think. So.
He's looking for the landing.
So, folks, there you have it. Wonderful. Well, you know, if this doesn't touch your heart and move you to make adjustments in your life when you have things flowing away, when you think you don't have, always remember it's a nice thing to reflect on what LaSan is going through. And sometimes we have to teach our children these things too, because sometimes they can really burden down a parent because they don't understand what other kids are going through. So this is a good lesson. This is a strong, good lesson. For those of you who really feel what's in this letter, make sure you take the opportunity to go to www.palas1.org, the number one. That's www, P as in Paul, Apple, L as in Larry, Apple, S as in Success, the number one.org, palace1.org. And look at the photographs on the page here. Look at the collage. Look at those who have gotten the scholarship last year. And see if that doesn't move you to make an investment, too. Please, www.palas1.org. Try to really see where we're coming from. And if you're not, a lot of folks would say, well, I don't have a dollar or two, and I can understand that because I know what it means not to have a dollar. Sometimes somebody says, well, you don't have a dollar. I don't believe that's true. Uh-huh, it is true that there are times you don't have a dollar. But you might know somebody who have a dollar or two who are willing to share. I mean, reach out to that person. That is power there, because that person, reaching out to that person, let them know about Palace is exactly what they need. Because there are a lot of people who would give to an organization, but believe it or not, do not know that Palace exists. Do not know that there is a Trenchtown Reading Center, which I want to big up all of those champions of reading in Jamaica, and there's another reading institute, reading program that's also headed by Mr. Hopeton Brown. Big up yourself, Mr. Hopeton Brown, that they just came from Jamaica with their reading mobile, spent about 4, 5, 6 weeks going through the schools, and I understand that they did possible visit Trenchtown Reading Center as well. These are the folks that are out there, but maybe you don't know that they are there. And what this program does, Project Jamaica Gives Back, Ms. Carla and myself, we try to pull in folks who are out there whenever time we find them. Pull them into this program. Let them talk about what they're doing. So you who are listeners can get an opportunity to say, you know what, wow, let me help out with this. I did not know Trenchtown exists. I did not know so-and-so exists. Wow, I am going to be a sponsor of a book or two. And as I say, a lot of times, if you don't have the funds, good, no problem. If you're an F-book, you pick up our link. Go to rulerbrownnetwork.com or Ruler Brown and Palace or Caribbean Radio Show or chickmillion.com on F-book and help us spread the word. Maybe one person who is a little bit more, have more expendable cash, we'll be able to understand what we're doing and help out. That is all you have to do. Help us to get the words out there, because it is important for us to get the word to those who will give, and for us to get the word to a student who wants, who would benefit from this program. So it's of two, we only have two missions here: to find folks who will, we are able to help, and to find folks who are able to help us as well. So please, when we say every little help, we exactly mean that. If you have a dollar, that dollar is greater than the $10,000 that we'll be getting, although we really want those $10,000. But we want your $1 too, because that is an example to our young kids that, hey, I mean, this is a gift from the heart. This is a gift from the heart. So don't go away. And I know a lot of folks know what we're doing and say, wow, you're doing a great job, and you're doing, we love that too. But to be honest with you, just saying we're doing a great job, it's not about us, because we don't need to, we don't need a lot of the, you know, the praises and all of that. Although that is good to make us know that, you know, we are doing something that is measurable. We want you to turn the, those we're doing a great job, good, high, into helping us too, into helping. Every time you say you're doing a great job, help us with a dollar or two, and say with a dollar or two, you're doing a great job. Or say, hey, you're doing a great job, I am going to help you drop your link on several pages. Well, you know what? I took the day today to drop your link on 10 of my people that I know pages, because you guys are doing such a great job. Send us a check and say, I am endorsing what you're doing by sending a $10 to LaShawn, or maybe you can just pick out a particular kid that bears your last name, bear resemblance of your grandmother, your uncle, your child, or something, and say, hey, I would like to sponsor this child. And as I'm saying that, let me extend to you, if you have a loved one who you want to make a scholarship in memory of, you've come to the right place. There's a grandmother that is always out there pushing for education, pushing in the community. Send us some funds and say, hey, I would like for this to make a scholarship every year that I will fund a child who has the name Brown and who is doing engineer, or who is doing nursing, right? In honor of my mother, or in honor of my great-grandmother, or whoever, or just in honor of someone, your wife's birthday, or your daughter's birthday, we are here. That's what we are here to facilitate. So if you know somebody who would love to do that, or the family would love to do something like this, give Rula a call. Send an email, rulabrown@gmail.com, or you can send us here, Caribbean Radio Show, @gmail.com. Of course, and Carla, you can, you're being the marketing director, they could just send it right to you. Give us your information, please.
I believe my email is in the information that's provided on the right hand side of the advertising for this particular show. So, but if you haven't picked it up, it's chickmelion@yahoo.com. chickmelion@yahoo.com. Now, if I could just expand on that just a little bit, Pallas is relatively new. One of the reasons why we're not very well known, but are becoming we're like wildfire here out at the gate, is because in all reality, this is our only second award ceremony. And we're going to be doing a little dancing here in a few minutes because I got some really good news that I want to make sure that hits the airwaves. But we're going to be trying to amp up our social networking presence, and we're going to be trying to amp up our webpage and everything because we're going to be looking for corporate sponsorship, and corporations are entities that expect that when they invest in you that there is some sort of recognition that goes back out. So you, by simply liking and sharing us on Facebook, passing pals around, creating a buzz, really, really does help us when it comes to going after corporate sponsors, because they see this, and they see that the people that they're trying to sell their products to are excited, and they'd be more than happy to be able to finance it. So you would, in fact, be helping us greatly, even if you don't have money, by simply helping us spread the word on the social sites, please. That would be absolutely fantastic. Now, Evelyn, last week when I was sitting here talking to you, I was telling you that we had some really interesting statistics. Last week, we were looking at an increase in funds raised from the previous. And there's only two award ceremonies that we have done so far. The first one was 13, correct?
Yes.
Second one now is August 5th, coming up in August 5th, 25th, sorry.
August 25th, yes.
August 25th, and it will be 42. That was over a 700% increase.
Wow.
From 2. But before WOW escapes here, there's a bit of stuff that went down between last week and this week, a few more donations came rolling in, and one giant donation from
Wow.
From an individual, and I'm not sure because Rula Brown didn't give me the okay whether I could name this individual or not, because I wanted to lay down a display ad thanking him, and we haven't finished that yet, but I can say the amount. This individual, and this individual is his second contribution. He did last year, he did it again this year, and this year he laid down $2,500.
Wow. Wow. And I know we were waiting for this because when we spoke last week, we were short. We were about short in terms of what we decided that we wanted to give. We were a little bit short because some of the pledges hadn't come in yet. So this is just a mighty, mighty, mighty big. Woohoo!
See, I told you we'd be dancing off the rooftops here pretty soon. And the beauty thing about it is it was not only the $2,500, and we're so grateful to this individual. And somewhere along the line, I'm going to be able to name this individual and speak more about him. I know that somewhere down the line, I'm going to be able to do this. But there was other people that had come in, that had come in with their contributions, not any less respected or appreciated by any means. So love you all. In 1 week, what you people did was bump up our statistics from 700% to 905% increase. That's a 200%
wow.
increase in 1 week. And God, this is only our second award ceremony. So when I say to you kids who didn't quite make it in that 42 this year, hold your breath, kids, because we're working really hard to make sure that, you know, we make things happen, and we make things happen, you know, not only in Jamaica. We're looking to spread out into Haiti and the Dominican Republic and see if we can do some serious impact in the Caribbean region.
Wow.
When we're talking about it all together, all bundled together, we're looking at roughly having raised $16,000 U.S. dollars.
Plus
four computers on top of that, which comes to a grand total of $18,000 U.S. Translated into Jamaican dollars, $1.5 million Jamaican dollars, roughly.
That is just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Give thanks to the hero man and his vision and the board of directors. I know everybody's cramming the last couple of weeks. Everybody's been on the computers, on the phone. We still need a little bit more assistance. We're trying to get some finger food in Jamaica to get the hall nicely decked out a little bit. I mean, not decked out in terms of really going overboard, but, I mean, you need to have a nice little ambience, like a little flower here and there and a couple of little finger food and maybe a tablecloth spread over and, you know, have the room nice and cozy to deliver the wonderful message to these 42 kids and their invited guests. So if anybody's out there, we still need a little bit more sustenance to reach out to us and get, if you have anybody in Jamaica company who would do a little catering, provide some drink or anything that we can present to our guests, please give us a call, 661-467-2407, and that number is only good, you know, during the show time. So if you're going to, if you have somebody in mind, do the email bit, CaribbeanRadioShow@gmail.com. Chickamillion is right there on the advertisement. Chickamillion, chickamillion@yahoo.com, rulerbrown@gmail.com. Anywhere on Facebook, you will find our presence because we throw Palace all around. Go to Palace directly. There's a link right there. You can send a message, and it gets directly to Ruler, www.palas1.org. That's www.palas1.org. If you're in Jamaica, and you have a restaurant and you'd like to help with some kind of a beverage or finger food, something light, we certainly would be very happy for that. Tell us where the occasion is going to be and kind of give a rundown of the programming, if you can, Carla.
Oh, my God, I don't have that email up at the moment. You're looking
for... All right.
What are you doing to me, my dear? Hold up.
Well, Carla is doing that. Remember. We still need your help. We really still need your help. And after the ceremony on August 25th, we just take a little breather to go over books, and we'll be starting the campaigning for next year right away. So if you are thinking of getting a loved one a scholarship, or if you're thinking of making a donation, we are going to be starting the year 2013 year, I think in September it starts, and Carla will tell you that is correct.
Our fiscal year will start in October. But I myself have you know is trying to gear up and get it ready and presentable by October. So we never really stop. You know what I mean? We might have a fiscal year that starts at this date and an award ceremony at that date, but in all reality, none of us ever really stop. You know, and I'm still trying to dig up the information that you asked here. So keep on talking, my dear.
All right. There you have it, the Miss College of Morocco in London. Here in London. I'm putting you in London now, maybe. I'm putting you to the Olympics or somewhere like that.
London.
Oh, well, you probably need good time. Take a walk over to London town. Miss Carla is the marketing director of Palace, the lady who is responsible for all of those beautiful banners that are out there, does the press releases, get those numbers crunched down and the stats all right. She's the person who's out there. Those radio interviews set up wherever she can. And just out there just presenting Palace to the world, getting ready to do a big, big campaign coming up. I am understanding that, of course, our numbers that we had out, 700, is going to be certainly take the pains of happiness this time to put those up to 905% rather than 700. I'm sure that wouldn't be all that painful at all, not at all, to get that up to that, to correct them, to have a new press release. That's what we're talking about, folks. But this was only possible because you care. Nobody else did this but you. You did that. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And if you could say, if these kids could say thank you to you individuals, my goodness, I am sure tears would fill your eyes because they would tell you thanks in a different way. I've seen some of the thank you letters that when they got the scholarship, it definitely would put you in a different place to know that you feel the thank you. It's so tangible in the writing. You can act, it's like if you're there and they're saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't know how much this is going to help me. Oh, yeah, we know. This is why we try to make this possible. Mr. Rillebrand can tell you when you usually get up early, 4 o'clock into the morning, as a young man, and I'm talking about obedience that our last winner talk about. I listened to Rula talk about he waking up early as a young boy to go with his granny 4 o'clock in the morning to Coronation Market. We understand what it is to not have. And when I say not have, I don't mean merely not having certain things. I don't mean merely not having a bike to ride as a kid or merely not having a sneakers. I mean, when I say not have, it means you're walking barefoot. It means you have to walk with your granny 4 o'clock in the morning with a basket on your head in the market. And maybe for some of you who kind of feel somewhat ashamed, if you see a school friend passing by, that's the kind of a level of not having that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about folks who really merely don't have certain things. It means when you have to take one pencil and cut it in two, that you never get a whole pencil for yourself with the rubber part. We call it the rubber. You call it eraser. We mean that when you get an eraser for yourself, the joy and happiness that encompasses your face, that's what we're talking about. We mean that when you get a school bag, 1st of September, we usually go to back to school around about the first week in September. How you feel, we say in Jamaica, pussy, and proud to have a brand new bag or a brand new crepe, you know. Your mother buys the cheap thing. But you feel good maybe to know that this semester you're going to get a shoes on your foot rather than have to wear barefoot. This is what I'm talking about. We mean that not having that when you get two suits, two changes of khaki suits or two changes of uniform, that you don't have to go home every evening and wash your uniform for it to be ready. So that means if rain wets you up or if rain is falling in the rainy season, you don't have to put the uniform in a towel and wring it dry and sun it, to create a breeze to dry your clothes so you can get it to wear in the morning. That's what I'm talking about not having. I am talking about not having breakfast to eat when you just make a little tea, just a little tea alone, because the bread finish, and you just drink a little tea and soups out to the door, and by time 12 o'clock come, your belly, your intestine almost twisting inside of your belly, and your mouth corner white, as they say, your mouth corner white. That's what I am talking about. This is the kind of a pain we're trying to avoid for young people who are trying to take that step to get rid of this out of their community. Because if they do move up, then they affect the entire chain that they left behind. They can change the links on this chain, you know. If they have brothers and sisters. And one thing to remember, what I want to also say here is that this young man mentioned that this little scholarship would take the pressure off his mama, a single mother, and majority of these kids, if not all, are in single parents' house. Maybe a 1% escape not being in the single parents' house with the mama. And a majority of them, if not all, have other siblings. And it means, here's what this means, folks. If you have three children that are supposed to go to school and you don't have no tax to pay, you have to negotiate, you know, which child is going to go to school today? Which child is going to get the use of that $150 to get the cab fare? Okay, you say, well, boy, you'll probably make the decision. You doing better. You bigger. So you go on. You guys have to stay until next week when I'm able to. To be able to, oh my goodness. If you understood all of this, if I'm not capturing this good enough for you, if that young man has shown is not capturing good for you, then you have to take a step out of all of this and step down to Jamaica, go to Haiti, and you see and understand what children are going through. And I know you don't necessarily have to do that, because you're supposed to. You understand what I'm saying, because some of you listening have gone through some of these pains and are still going through it, you know, in one way or the other. We know that.
And there has been an overwhelming response where we are starting to become known. And again, when you're looking at statistics of, you know, a 905% increase in funding, there is people out there who really do care, who become part of the Palace family and want to ensure that the Caribbean gets a really good solid toehold in its future, and you know, may y'all be blessed for your help and your generosity. There's other people there I know that have picked up the display ads or anything that Rula Brown has put down, videos that he makes, and have answered his calls on his numerous radio shows and your numerous radio shows. So there's a lot of caring people out there, but the thing is this is not a one-time thing. This is we're going to be at it until the solution until the problem is solved, until the obstacles and barriers are dealt with, we are going to continue being here, and we're going to continue needing your help. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary help. If you can help increase awareness for us, if you can give us an idea who might be interested in being able to fund us or sponsor us corporately or otherwise, get a hold of us at www.palace1.org on our contact page and give us the heads up, and that's not any less appreciated than you know giving us money. Any little bit that you can provide helps. Now, Evelyn, I'm at a loss being able to find that email, although Rula just gave it to me yesterday, but it somehow got buried. I'll give you an overview of what's happening on the 25th. It's going to happen August 25th at Excelsior High School in Kingston, and there'll be a keynote speaker, Honorable Minister Philip Caldwell, and that's where 42 scholarships will be presented, and the families and Rula Brown and a couple of the board members will be present there. We were discussing, I think Rula Brown and I were discussing yesterday that you know, they're going to take down video cameras and you know, try and record this event so that we can share it, you know, him on his radio show and on the social networks and everything. So keep your heads up and your eyes open for, you know, for those bright 42 smiles and you know, and hey, let's see if we can find Vishon in the middle of all of this, and you know, and see, because he certainly, you know, he and the rest of them have worked really, really hard to be where they're at. Once again, I want to point out the rest of the applicants, you didn't work any less. I recognize that. We recognize that. You didn't work any less. You didn't let your families down. We ran dry of our help. You know, we ran dry of our help, and we're really going to try hard to fix that and remedy that this year. And the people that are listening out there, if there's any possible way that you can help fix that and remedy that, there are kids that didn't make it this year who need not feel bad about their efforts or their work, but they didn't make it this year. I mean, and it is heartbreaking to go back to them and to inform them of such bad news. It really is. I want them to hang in there. I want them not to give up on their dream, because we're not going to give up trying to get those funds to you. Heck or high water, one way or the other, we're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We certainly, and as times go by, as the years go by and we get more experience and know where to look for funds, I definitely know that we'll be in the Caribbean when a student has the potential and really needs some help. They know that at least they can call upon us. And I truly believe that in time, corporation will seek us out as well, because corporation wants to be identified with good work and integrity in other organizations. And Palace does represent integrity and grassroots and the products that, because our standard also is high and for the stuff that we're going to do, then it is important also for these people to be involved in what we're doing as well. So in time to come, I think we will definitely win over some cooperation on our side. And therefore, if that happens, and when that happens, we will have expanded, and our reach would be much greater in years to come.
Exactly. Now, Golden Heart, we've got 3 minutes left, and you touched on really, really. Are you still in the dark?
Oh my goodness, I am in the dark. Very much in the dark.
Okay. All right. We've only got 2 minutes left. And you touched on a subject that we haven't quite discussed yet, and I'm gonna do it really quickly in 2 minutes. We are in fact a grassroots organization. The money that you donate to us doesn't go into, you know, paying the board of directors or any of those costs or anything. This goes straight to the kids and to the certificates that are handed to the kids, and the small transactions that are required to pull this off. None of these monies are pocketed by any of us on the board. We're all sitting there out of the goodness of our hearts, and an awful lot of the times we're dipping into our own pockets to make sure that we get to where we need to be. Rula Brown's going down. He's going to be going down on the 22nd, I believe, around thereabouts, and another one of our board members will be going down, I think, the day before. Both of these gentlemen are going to be paying their own way to get down there to facilitate the ceremonies on the 25th out of their own pockets in the goodness of their heart. This is an incredibly dedicated board of directors, and their hearts are set in helping the Caribbean build themselves a good, solid foundation for the future. And I just needed you to understand that, you know, because there's a lot of people that say, well, if I give, only a small percentage will trickle down to where it needs to be. Not true in our case. In our case, it trickles down to the kids because they are top priority. Absolutely.
Definitely. And, of course, if any of you out there, oftentimes, Rula goes down to Jamaica, he takes the public transportation, because rather than taking a cab and drive around, he says that money could go to a palace scholarship. That's the kind of dedication. So look out for Rula in the bus. If you have any transportation, you can come and pick her up as well. If you have hotel accommodation out there and any hotels listening out there, because he doesn't have a home there anymore, so, you know, we have to be staying at somebody else's home. A nice hotel for sponsorship would also be good. Anybody who has any kind of connection with anybody in the food industry to get a couple of drinks or just about anything that would make.
If you're in the media. If you're in the media too, a shout out would be absolutely appreciated. We have a press release written up that you can release. Just get a hold of us, www.palace1.com, and our contact page. Say, send me the press release, and we'll get it to you right away. We will be sending press releases to the media in Jamaica in a couple of weeks' time, just to make sure that the Jamaican celebrations have ended and we don't interfere with, you know, with the media, with their dealings with that.
All right. All right, folks, as usual, we have so much more to say. But tune in again next week. I'm sure we might just be getting another big, 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 big surprise in donation. We always welcome those. We will sing and dance on the rooftop for you. That is certainly what we can do for you. On behalf of Miss Carla, my angel lady up there in Canada, on behalf of the hero man, Mr. Rula Brown, and thank you so much, Mr. Tim Aldridge. Without you tonight, the show would not be possible. So thank you so much for making this all possible. And for all of you listening in on the chat room, those of you are listening in on the outside on the switchboard and on the F-book, thank you so much and have a good night. Take care of yourself. We'll be right back here, all things being equal, next Wednesday, 8 p.m. We started off a little bit late tonight, but next Wednesday at 8 p.m. In the meantime, take care of yourself and others. Ciao.
Dr. Charlie with the universal message. Dr. Evie with the universal message. Caribbean radio with the universal message. When I answer, Lord, my right, Lord. Naphtali representing for Dr. Evie and Caribbean radio show, Lord.
Yeah.
Love you, baby.
Love you, baby. Oh, yeah.
I was there for you, yeah. Anytime you needed me, this is what you've done and did to me. To me. Even though you're younger, I still show you love.
Show you.
Took you in my world. To find myself on my knees, can't believe my eyes what I once see. GVs, have to find myself on my knees, can't believe my eyes. They send me to a foreign, can make some money, and when me they a foreign, can't believe me feel so happy. They send me up a girl, and things said that she love me. The rich part of Jamaica, disaster it take me. Me find a charity in a mystery, and when me ask her, she answer it was in me. That's how me find out she is the bride of Shanky. My girl take your things since I was there for you there. Anytime you needed me, this is what you've done and did to me. To me. Even though you're younger, I still show you love, girl. Took you in my world.
But this a dirt and no sand dung. We have to walk like a man dung. But this a hill and gully land dung. Who we dig from a morning? We a go dig till the evening. We a walk for the planting. We a go walk for the reaping. We have to buy one gutless. But me now get worthless. Here everybody want know. But them a man can walk so. But then you bend down low down. You wait down the cool down. Oh, you come down down down. But it's a hill and gully land down.
Love is lovely. One is kind of ugly. When I say make love, I mean one. Stick around, don't be no clown. Or maybe you can see what I put down. The music, I'm Mr. B, my Mr. Business. And so we'll be young around. It just got rid of the good times around. Even from a chop to the very long stop. Ain't no music off a comp because of your musical lollipop. And don't look back, you know? Yeah.
like Chrysler. Now that you're gone, I can't go on, girl, without you. I'll never, never, never. Oh, I'll never, never, never. I'll never love again. Forget those dreams I had, girl. No, because of you, I stay late and now have lost my day. Now that you're gone, girl, I can't.
Thank you. come. Here comes the power version.
Uh-uh.
City sidewalk.
Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw Daddy with a laughing little kid that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a church and I listened to the song that they were singing. And in the distance somewhere I could hear a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like the disappearing dreams of long ago. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. There's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was told. 'Cause there's something
Sammy, I just wanna be with you, Sammy, all day, all night. Not in a position to maintain you.
Greetings, I am Mwalimu Antoine Bean, host of Diaspora Talks with Mwalimu Speaks on Blog Talk Radio, and CEO of MAB Direct. Marcus Garvey said that we can only achieve success through harmony and unity. The Peace and Love Academic Scholarship Program, PALIS, is dedicated to continuously recognizing and honoring outstanding academic performances by awarding scholarships to students residing in the Caribbean region. Unite with PALIS to help these ambitious, intelligent young minds with a contribution. Just go to www.peaceandlovescholarship.org and donate to our future. Peace and love.
Or you can go to www.palace1.org. Palace1.org.
Looking at your crystal ball, but you justice. Everyone is crying out for peace, yeah. None is crying out for justice. I don't want no
love the way you talk. I love the way you smile, cause you're a cool operator. Girl, I wish you were mine. Hey, hey. Yes, this is Ruler Brown. You're listening to Dr. Everett Richardson here on the Caribbean Radio Show.
In a time of need, only few can see what's wrong, yeah. While millions tend to cross,
I wouldn't make it a habit.
But only those who choose can make it through this hard time. Only few can see like liars, yeah. Love and hate could never be friends. Love and hate. La 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 la
clothing that you wear. Up and on. The textures of your hair, it doesn't make you a man. Yeah. Ooh. 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 Whoa, 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 yeah. Ooh, ah.
puppet on the tree.